Hello, friends and folks, and welcome to another Scanline Talks. I'm Six Detmar from Scanline Media.
And I'm Jennifer Uncle from Scanline Media.
And this is one that you've been pushing for a while now. We're trying to get back to some more, like, just normal game talk podcasts. And you picked up A Plague Tale: Innocence, a game that was about as far off my radar as it gets. Because I don't like horror. And that's kind of the end of the story. And you were like, hey, I'm enjoying this game, it's really good. I was like, sure, okay, great, horror game, that's good. And then you kind of started to freak out about it.
Yeah.
So I took it that we needed to have a talk about this game. It seems like it's not getting a lot of attention. It's getting, you know, like, some good reviews, but it's not, you know, like, it's not this big thing that everybody's talking about. But you had quite a reaction to it.
Yeah, I should probably start out by talking about what it was sold as, or at least what it looked like to me. Like, the trailers focus on two sides, more or less. One of the sides, you have this person in, what was the name of that? Basically a Crusader Inquisition-style armor, who's talking about how he's doing his best to fight the plague, and he doesn't understand why these two other people aren't on his side, because they have the same goal. And on the other half of that coin, you have a teenage daughter and her younger brother, and the two of them are running frantically through miserable-looking streets, many of which are choked with thousands upon thousands of rats. So, and also one of these trailers, by the way, is narrated by Sean Bean, doing his best to give it gravitas and talking about how serious this is. So the way that I saw it initially going in was that it was going to be something like a exaggerated historical tale sort of situation, where they kind of use this historical event taking place in the mid-1300s to tell a story about siblings, which that seems like it's fairly common fodder for something that's trying to go for a more third-person, high-budget prestige sort of thing.
Spooky Brothers.
Basically, yeah, like that. And the way that I saw the rats, at least going in, and for my first few hours with it, was that they were supposed to be purposefully exaggerated in terms of, let's take something that the audience is somewhat aware of and turn it up a notch just for the sake of thematic horror and being slightly scary. About halfway or three quarters through it, that changes to a significant degree. But, well, first let's, I should probably get into the stuff that happens a bit earlier.
Well, I mean, okay, so we're here, we're going to be talking about A Plague Tale: Innocence. Would you say, I mean, like, we're going to get into spoilers, and it's a question of whether we give a spoiler warning now or later. My question is, do you feel like these are spoilers that are going to make people want to check out the game, or these are spoilers that you listen to and you're like, okay, never mind, I feel like I'm good now?
I honestly don't know, because the thing is, for the first 5 to 7 hours, I was having a fairly good time with it. The way that the gameplay started shifting to be more aggressive in terms of your interaction with guards kind of took some of my enthusiasm away, but overall it's a fairly engaging story that I really liked the bits when I thought I knew what it was, and then at some point when it became something entirely different, I feel like it lost something.
Okay. Well, okay, then, yeah, let's talk about the early game first. Let's talk about the stuff that's, like, people already know what this game is.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, that makes sense. So, it's in late 1348, you play this young girl named Demicia de Rune. She's part of a noble family. You have your own castle and everything like that. The game more or less starts with you going out on a hunting trip with your dad and your dog. And he gives you a new slingshot so you can... You could basically use the slingshot to hunt animals while the dog assists you. And while you're out on this hunting trip, the landscape starts to look a bit worse and worse until the dog runs ahead a bit, chasing what appears to be a mouse at the time. But then you hear panic barks at far away, and you start running after this dog. What you find is the dog is stuck in a corrosive-looking rat hole, and as you're trying to pull the dog out, it whimpers and just gets instantly eaten by these rats in this very... The way that the environment looks, you can basically see corruption sort of increasing more and more as you get closer to it, and then the dog gets eaten, and you take its tags back home, or you basically take its collar back home from what I can remember. From there, you kind of find out through conversations with your father that your mother, you haven't seen your mother in a really long time because she spent all her time taking care of your younger brother, Hugo Darun, who she won't show to anyone, including you. You're kind of resentful about that. And when you're back at the castle, you find out, oh, the English Inquisition is here, and they're coming to more or less burn everything to the ground. There's some rumors here and there that it's because your family is accused of harboring someone who's carrying the plague, and everything you're hearing about Hugo at this point is that he's been sick since childbirth. So things start taking a turn for the worse very quickly. The English Inquisition arrives, instantly slaughters your dad. You have to run around to find Hugo as the Inquisition is ransacking your castle, killing all the servants, everything like that. It takes a bit of coaxing to get Hugo to come. You basically have to tell him, oh, we're going to go see Mom. And you do meet up with her, but as the three of you are escaping from the nearby garden, you see this character named Lord Nicholas, who was the person I mentioned earlier, who was supposed to be the Inquisition character. He basically stops her while she's trying to buy you and Hugo more time, and you see what looks to be like her getting run through the door. And you're not telling Hugo any of this, you're just running together, and at some point you do mention, we're probably not going to see her again, but from there you're basically without a home, without any of the nobility stuff, so you're running to the nearby village. And the important thing to say so far is that, so far your slingshot has been an entirely non-aggressive weapon, aside from the brief hunting scene. You're basically using it in these situations to make noise. One of the more clever things is if you're winding up your slingshot when people are nearby, they will hear the slingshot go off. But if you take a rock and throw it by hand, that's much harder for them to trace where the sound came from.
Hmm.
So
it is kind of clever.
Yeah. And it's this neat thing where encountering a guard up front is basically a one-hit kill, but the way that they handle the stealth, it feels... Something about the way that the stealth handle that is handled at this point feels pretty immersive in a way. Kind of like, okay, I'm really getting into this story, and it's easy for me to figure out exactly where the game wants me to go because I'm thinking like the character.
So, like, in this early part of the game, like, I mean, 1348, that would be during the time of the Black Death, right? One of the second large bubonic plague outbreak, and this is the right area. And does it feel like it's trying to say something about, I don't know, like sickness and, like, because, historically, bubonic plague was sort of like, I don't know, it was a complicated thing where, you know, obviously it killed a lot of people and they didn't understand what was causing it. And, you know, there were obviously some kind of monstrous attempts to try and quarantine it, because since they didn't know what was going on, they're just sort of like, okay, well, fuck all these people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And does it feel like it's trying to comment on all of that?
Initially, yes. Like, there's various points throughout the castle where you're walking around and you can... Well, various points throughout the game as well where you can... You're looking around and you'll find something like a memento or an item you can comment on. And once you do that, it's added to your codex, and the codex adds some historical explanation for what that item was. Like, there's a... there's like a... Whatever you call the thing where you mash up the leaves and other herbs to make medicine.
A poultice?
Yeah, they have you have a poultice that you can take a look at, and then that adds a little entry explaining some things about it. But yeah, and initially the way that it's handled, like the next scene is you going through a town that's going into lockdown because they know who you are, and they're blaming you for the spread of the plague. And at this point, there's not really anything being said to or indicated that that would actually be the case. So it's this sense of fear-mongering amongst the townsfolk as they and the Inquisition claim that you're the ones to blame. So they're, except for one kindly old lady, pretty much everyone is willing to either murder you or give you up to the Inquisition.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, invoking the Inquisition as a concept is very, you know, like medieval, like culture of fear and you know, classism, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I guess things take a turn, huh?
Yeah. After you get out of the village, you're sent to find this doctor named Dr. Laurentis, who says that he basically starts implying that, things are a bit more complicated than that. He has a son named Lucas, who is also a brilliant alchemist, and he's been researching something called the Prima Macula, which basically is a dormant thing within certain noble bloodlines that effectively has some sort of plague. And since it's dormant, it never really affects people so much, but... For some reason, since Hugo has been getting sick, there might be... The game starts to suggest that there might be something to the villagers' suspicions that Hugo's sickness has something to do with the plague and the spread of rats.
Hmm.
And shortly after you get a bit of that exposition, his... basically, the whole lab and Dr. Laurentis... a fire breaks out within that lab. You end up running with his son, Lucas, to a different place. Yeah, at this point, it's still fairly... There is one moment of violence where you actually have to straight up murder someone. Basically, you've been running from the townspeople this entire time, and finally one of them kind of gets you stuck within a isolated graveyard area. And through multiple hits, you end up actually killing him with the slingshot. And your character, Amicia, is pretty horrified by that whole thing. And she's never taken a human life before. She hates what has happened. Hugo treats her with suspicion now. And like most of the game at this point is you finding clever ways to get around the rats, whether it's sticking to areas that have sun near them, or sticking to places where fire is burning. That usually gets you away from basically what is like a giant physics particle of rats that'll devour you within seconds. In a very cartoonish way, sort of, because you kind of just get pulled down into them. But
apparently up to 5,000 rats can be rendered on screen at once.
Yeah, something like that. And basically... A lot of the rest of this game, at this point, I'm still going along with everything that's happening. You're you're more or less adding various people to your party as you go along. So first it's the alchemist's son, Lucas, at some point two thief siblings end up helping you, and because they feel like you owe them one because they saved your life, they kind of end up tagging along, hoping that you'll end up stumbling into something that's pretty rich for them. Also, Lucas tells them, oh, you're loaded, even though your place got destroyed, so they're working under slightly false pretenses. And at some point, you actually come to a place that's supposed to be... like, there's supposed to be a hidden castle within this land called the Chateau des Ombrages. And a curious thing happens when you get there. You start to realize that the whole castle is built as a defense mechanism for the rats. Like, there's various braziers strategically lined up around places, so you can funnel the rats into various holes and keep them at bay. Yeah.
Okay, so it's a like a dedicated rat defense fortress.
Yeah, in addition to being like a whole ass castle. And sure. Everyone's kind of pleased when you get there, because it's like, oh hey, this is a place we can actually call home for a bit. At this point, you find out that there's a Grand Inquisitor named Vitalis Benavent, who is more or less searching for the cure for his own ends. And he and Lucas are aware of a book called the Sanguinis Intinera, which is supposed to be this banned forbidden book that may have information on how to cure the macula.
Okay, so recapping here.
Mm-hmm.
Plague breaks out. Your brother has been sick since he was born, basically, and so villagers suspect that, plus the fact that no one sees him, suspect that he's the plague bearer. You're like, that doesn't make any sense. Then you go and you meet up with your mom's friend, and your mom's friend, like, actually, he's got an ancient super virus plague in his hidden in his blood, so actually that kind of does make sense. And you're like, oh no. And then there's a fire, and I guess that guy dies, right?
Yeah, the doctor that helped you out dies.
Does his son die, or does the son get away?
Oh, no, the son's with you. The son named okay. Lucas is with you, yeah.
Okay, so all the kids get away, and you run off, and you're running around, and you're like, okay, well, let's go to this castle. And the castle is a special rat defense castle. And then the Inquisitor's like, I'm going to find out what's up with this plague so I can use it. And you're like, well, there's this ancient book that'll cure the plague. That's where we're at, right?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, got it.
So you're going to the university to find this book, and it's hidden within a bunch of various secret compartments. As it turns out, while you're there, you also find a blacksmith named Roderick who built the place that it's hidden under, to keep the knowledge secret and safe. So you end up running into Vitalis briefly, and he's like a creepy old, he's very much one of those creepy old characters you see in various Religion Bad series, where he's constantly coughing, one of his eyes is completely glassed over, and he's being carried around in this gigantic wooden stool. And, of course, he's trying to get the book and possibly kill you, because he doesn't really have any use for you, aside from finding Hugo, which he's very interested in finding Hugo at this point. That's the other thing. He says that with that book and Hugo, he might have a chance at saving the world, in his own words.
Okay, because presumably the book is going to unlock the secrets of Hugo's blood plague or whatever.
Basically, yeah. So
okay, sure.
You and Roderick escape. You end up meeting back at the castle, and while you're there, you find out that one of your friends got captured in part of a scouting mission, and you also found out that your mother is actually alive.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but this information is told to Amicia, without Hugo present, except Hugo is in the corner somewhere listening in, eavesdropping. And Hugo asks you directly about that, and you're like, oh no, mother's dead. She's totally gone. And...
uh-oh.
Yeah, basically, at that point, Hugo decides to just run right to the Inquisition and be like, oh, okay, I want to see Mother. I hear that you have Mother, so bring me to Mother. And it's at this point, you're kind of sneaking around trying to find out more information. You break out of the holding cell that you were at. This is where the game goes completely haywire compared to everything else that's been going on.
Okay.
While you're searching around for your mother, you find, like, well, first you find you're listening into Vitalis, and a representative of the Pope comes in and tells Vitalis, hey, what you're doing here is extremely fucked up, and the Pope is going to excommunicate you if you don't quit it. And Vitalis is like, he will see you soon, everyone will see, because he's the big bad guy. And, a little bit further down, when you get to the dungeons, you find that a bunch of prisoners are crying, and they're strung up in a way where they're constantly bleeding into this pit of rats that are all drinking the blood. And from there, you end up finding your mother, and once you break out, you get a gigantic headache. And according to your mother, you just passed the first threshold. And what that means for Hugo...
The first threshold of what?
That's the thing. The way that they were talking about it before was, like, the thresholds were supposed to be something that's like, oh, the sickness will be... The thresholds are considered, like, the progression of his sickness. So when he reaches the first threshold, in all the previous conversations, what that was implied to be was... oh, his sickness is going to get way worse. What actually happens when you hit that threshold is your mother instructs you on how to control the rats.
Okay, So, how does this manifest mechanically? Is it like you get a watchdog's like hack button, but it's rats? Or is it like an RTS now? Or is it Pikmin? What are we doing?
No, you're basically just like the slingshot where you held left trigger to pull back and right trigger to shoot.
And you fire a rat?
Kind of like that. What happens is you aim and a bunch of chaotic orchestral music starts playing. And then you hold down the right trigger and the rats are basically told to swarm in that direction. So you're basically controlling this small little hurricane of rats that you can send after people now. And you are sending them after people. You are, in order to get past these guards, you are straight up killing them with these rats. And I should back up a moment and say that it had already gotten to the point where you were regularly killing people to advance past them, even after that initial moment of horror. Like, the thing about having an alchemist nearby you, at least for Amicia, is that you learn a lot of things like, oh, if I put out this torch that this guard is holding, the rats will kill them. Or if I shoot this thing at this one guard's head, his helmet will start to corrode and he has to throw it off, and then I can headshot him with my slingshot. And it's gone from something that seemed to be telling this sort of more narrative guided story to, like, a version that a slightly more fragile Splinter Cell.
So, okay. Why? My question is, why are you doing any of this?
In terms of with Hugo, or...
Yeah, like, at this point, what is your goal? Are you like, we're gonna find a cure for Hugo? Are you like, well, I guess we have rat powers now, let's go be the king of the rats? Are you like, man, you know what'd be great is if the Inquisition worked for... Like, what are you doing?
So Amicia is still trying to get a hold of Hugo because she's realizing that he went over to the Inquisition and she isn't sure what to do.
Oh, so are you playing as Hugo? Are you switching between them? Or does Amicia have rat powers?
Oh, you're switching between them.
Okay, so when you're playing as Hugo, you've got rat powers. When you're playing as Amicia, you're just murdering people with a slingshot.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and at the end of this sequence with Hugo, where you're basically sending rat cyclones after people, you walk right into the hands of Vitalis, who takes your mother hostage and sets up this weird gauntlet where he basically sends a bunch of his own people after you with the hopes that you'll pass another threshold. So what he's done while you were captured was he took some of your blood, he took some of Hugo's blood and injected it directly into himself. So,
oh sure. So now it's like now he's got the parrot. Now he's got the blood plague, and now he can control rats.
Kind of, but the weird thing is, it's totally reliant on Hugo's own progress. So he can't reach the next level of thresholds until Hugo does.
Okay, so it's like, okay, I can, this is still fine, I can still connect this. This is like the Zero Escape series, where there's like a fourth dimensional, like, ESP connection. So like, maybe the blood is separated, but if you had a fourth dimensional view, you would see that the blood is still connected, so awakening in Hugo awakes it in Vitalis.
Basically. So got yeah, it. This whole...
Not complicated. So easy.
So yeah, the whole facing off with Vitalis is him sending a bunch of guards after you in the hopes that you'll continue to eat his guards, and that will in turn make you pass another threshold. And he more or less captures your mother and is like, if you don't do what I tell you, then, and if you don't listen to my teachings, then I'm gonna kill your mom. And at that...
Why didn't you just make rats eat him?
Yeah, that's the thing. He puts himself in a position where he's like in this elevated position so the rats can't get him.
I mean, make rats flow from the ceiling or whatever. You're the rat wizard. You're the rat king.
It gets to that point later.
God damn it.
After this whole bit where you realize Hugo and the mom are in big trouble, Amicia is back at the base with the rest of them, figuring out what they want to do. And it's at that point, later when the sun's going down, that all of a sudden, the rats are a lot more aggressive. And by a lot more aggressive, I mean that there's literal mini tornadoes that can swarm near the braziers and hurl themselves at the braziers to put the fire out. So it's in the situation where you're like, wait, the rats never acted like this. What's going on? And it's at that point that a brainwashed Hugo steps in with Nicholas trailing behind him. And you find out that the whole rat attacking thing that's happening tonight is the result of Hugo sending them after you because he's angry at you for telling him that mother was dead.
So, okay. Do the rats have a motive in all of this? Or are they just rats gonna rat?
So there is something you uncover, basically like a... Like, underneath the castle, you find... Well, actually, I think it's underneath your old... it's underneath the ruins of your old home. You find all these murals showing previous people who had this sickness. And the whole thing is them basically showing off as... basically, as soon as they hit the threshold, they were able to somehow conquer the rats, more or less. So... The rats don't really have a motive at this point, but
So, this is great because I keep asking, like, facetious questions, because they're rats. Why would they have a motive? But apparently that's going to be a thing.
Okay, yeah, it becomes a thing in a really throwaway piece of dialogue that people are shouting, and you're like, I don't think you actually know that, but okay. And basically, after you're basically confronting Hugo... who envelops Amicia and himself in a rat storm as she goes to hug him and basically be like, hey, really, let's knock it off. This is really silly. And it's at that point that Hugo hits the next point of the threshold and can somehow control rats a lot better to the point where, like previously, you could control the rats, but if you weren't careful, they would still eat you. Now they kind of form a path around you, kind of like... making way for you. And okay. Yeah, you basically use this to do a boss fight with the Inquisition Nicholas person who is running around setting fires, and you have to constantly put out the fires using Amicia, then use Hugo to swarm him with rats. And it's a boss battle, so you have to hit him 3 times, and each one has that similar stage until he goes down.
Wait, why do you have to... Why do you have to use Amicia to put out the fires? Why don't you just do more rat tornadoes? Like, when you're at the point where you can do rat tornadoes, I don't really see what you can... Like, I mean, I guess if you were up against, like, a tank, that'd probably be a problem.
Yeah.
But otherwise...
The weird thing is, you don't really get access to the rat tornadoes yourself, even though it shows that Hugo can do it. So it's still making you, as Amicia, put out the fires manually, which requires manually crafting the ammo each time, which involves running around for supplies, basically scrambling around this arena, constantly picking up the various pieces, holding down a button to craft it, and then shooting the fires out. It's a bit messy, mechanically.
Okay, all right. So you're playing Metal Gear Solid / The Last of Us meets... I don't really have a good analog for the rat magic. Okay, where do we go from here? You kill Nicholas, I guess.
Yeah, and...
He gets the rats.
Yeah, and in the meantime, your various companions have also been whittling down over time. Like, the thief brother ended up dying, and through the last charge that you make against... You basically storm over to the cathedral that... The evil priest Vitalis is holding, and the big strong person Roderick ends up pushing a cart and getting shot with a bunch of arrows to protect you. And this final showdown is absolutely wild, because what happens is that Vitalis reveals that, oh yeah, I was feeding all those rats people blood to make them completely white rats, and my white rats will defeat your black rats and take over the world. And it's at this point that he stands in the middle of the room and is basically covered in this giant rat tornado that he basically wields like a cudgel. Like, you're standing somewhere and then a giant pillar of rats will fall on you if you don't move. And it can also send them into the ground to burrow and then burst up where you're standing. And
Does he have a counter? Does he have a command throw?
No, there's no counters or command throws, but there is... At various points within this boss battle, you can hit the up button to make Hugo send his own storm of rats, and as long as you positioned your previous... You basically lead around Vitalis' attacks to make way so Hugo can send his attack in a straight line. And while this is going on, characters are shouting the absolutely off-the-wall things like, the Macula believes in me! The Macula will defeat this priest because the Macula hates this priest. And there's no indication for why this is. Like, Hugo says that he can hear the rats sometimes, but Amicia's the one yelling this shit. Like, she's like, our Macula will defeat your Macula. And it's this whole showdown where eventually you hit Vitalis enough times, and eventually he just dies because you hit him with a slingshot in the head a bunch of times.
Okay, so we're gonna cut Amicia some slack here, right? Mm-hmm. She's got a little brother. Her little brother is having to deal with a lot of shit. Rat magic, fighting the Inquisition, and he just needs some encouragement. And so Macy is like, I never took cheerleading, but I think what they do is they shout about how we're gonna win and fate's on our side and go go Macula.
Yeah, the only funny thing about that earlier is that there were other characters like Roderick, who was the one that died, who was yelling stuff like, oh yeah, you're way stronger than I am because you have all these rats. And Amicia's like, shut the fuck up. Don't give him any ideas. Just shut up. And with no transition whatsoever, she immediately switches over to, yeah, your rats are awesome. Beat those rats. And yeah, at some point after you defeat Vitalis, you get a... The characters are just looking at the carnage. You cut to credits, and then there's a mid-credit scene that happens 3 days later, and the rats are completely gone. Like, all of the rats are just gone, and they do not explain this at all. They're just like, oh, hey, the rats are gone now. Hooray. We're still looking for these two people because we still suspect that they're all behind this, but the rats are gone. Hooray.
We're still looking for these two people because even if, let's say, they were fighting bad guys, they are doing it by drowning them in carnivorous rats, and what the fuck?
Yeah. But they don't explain, there's no postmortem for why the rats disappeared, just that they disappeared, so I assume that Hugo just used his rat powers to send them all back into the earth.
He opened up a rat hole. It's like a black hole, but for rats. So, okay, I was under the impression you were recommending this game?
I was initially. Like, when I was playing the first 5 to 6 hours, it was like, okay, I feel like the game's getting a little bit worse than it was before. I'm kind of sick of the sort of Last of Us formula where it treats killing as a really bad thing until it doesn't, and characters are just... There is a side... Your sidekick in this, the one that... The super strong one that's the blacksmith, his whole thing is... You can send him out to snap guards next when they're not looking. And he's like, oh, they're not going to wake up from that one. Haha. And it's that thing where it's like, I wish that it wasn't doing this. But at the same time, I recognize that this is a AAA game. And this is made by people who are trying to emulate AAA games like The Last of Us. So I'll just grin and bear this particular part of it because I'm still having a good time with the story. And it takes like 7 or 8 hours for the game to finally go, this isn't a story about historical plagues at all. This is about a kid with rat powers and how his noble blood gives him the ability to use rat powers. And this priest also wants the rat powers, so he steals the noble person's blood. And it's, like, up until that point, I was pretty much into it in sort of ways that's like, oh, hey, this is a team doing something with a little bit less budget than a bigger studio, but they're still putting their hearts into this, and it seems neat. And then once it hits that point, it's like, I'm no longer playing the game that it was marketed to me as. I'm no longer playing it what I was... I'm no longer seeing what I was excited about. It's just this weird supernatural rat fuck story.
Well, it starts off as being a Plague Tale, and then it starts being Innocence. Part two is Innocence.
Yeah.
So I guess for me, right? We're looking at this game. And you talked about it being like AAA. I guess it's probably more like AA, right?
Yeah.
Or something?
Yeah, it's done by a studio who, before this, the only other original game they had made was Fuel, the 2009 open world game that kind of got lambasted for being a racing game with too much land to it. Mm. And from there, they've done various licensed games and ports of games, like a few Garfield games, various things like that. And this is their first time in 10 years that they've made something that's completely original from their own.
Oh, they did ReCore, actually. Oh, they helped on ReCore. Never mind. My mistake.
Yeah. They were also listed on the crew, but they were just in charge of the Wii version of that, which I assume was canceled because I've never heard of the Wii version of that.
It looks like they also worked on the Xbox 360 version of The Crew.
Oh, okay.
But, anyway. So, I guess the thing is, for games like this, right? Like, especially this one. But, like, I feel like there's this weird thing where you have games that are trying, that are, like, they're using presentation to be like, no, look, this is, like, a AAA experience. And then they're not delivering that type of content. And I don't understand the appeal of that approach. Because it's like, if you're trying to be like, hey, look, it's, you know, AAA budget, AAA production, then I guess you're doing that to try and rope in people who normally wouldn't go for that sort of thing. And they're not going to be happy when it turns out to be little kids throwing rats around. And then, like, if you're looking for, like, okay, well, we want to make, like, an indie game, but we just want it to look nicer than indie games normally do, or look higher budget than indie games normally do. The fact that you sold it based on this indie art game, and then it turns into, you know, a bizarre pitch for an Idle Thumbs episode is is gonna put people off. I don't know what they were trying to do here.
Yeah, according to some of the stuff on the game's Wikipedia, it says that the company was looking to create something, a narrative story kind of like The Last of Us and Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons. And how they were trying to tell a story about family and innocence and the destruction of that innocence. And I don't know how you go from, oh, this is a game about the theme of losing innocence, to this is how someone becomes a merciless person who controls rats with their mind. And it runs against everything else the game is trying to do, too. Like, it gives you so much information about specific flowers or what alchemy looked like back then, or talking about the Inquisition in frank terms. Like, at some point you find one of the Inquisition manuals and it talks about how basically the Inquisition manual focused back then focused on the solution being severe punishment, either through death or other means, to get people to act in a righteous way. And there's nothing discussed about that in terms of Vitalis' motives or anything like that. There's just, everything is going to be resolved now because I know how to control rats. He never explains why that will solve everything. He just tells all of his subordinates that, hey, this will solve everything, and they go along with it.
I mean, if you could control rats, there are a lot of problems you could solve, right? Global warming. Rats produce a lot of heat, have themselves throw themselves into space. Energy is put them on treadmills, right? I mean, like, name a problem.
Let's see.
Depression. Eat people with depression. It's so easy. You could solve so many problems.
Yeah. How about love?
Man, if you can't love those little faces, I don't know what you can love. Also, you could have them, like, form into, I mean, like, this is not above where this, have them form, like, group together, and, like, you know, like they form a rat tornado, have them form a rat person, and, like, move around with arms and legs, and, you know, like, form, like, rat vocal cords, and have them say, I love you.
Now that sounds like a indie game I would probably play.
A rat wavy tube, man. Okay, so it looks like where we're dropping on this one is it is not recommended. This, we were sort of wondering what this podcast was going to be, and it turns out this is the story of maybe this isn't the game you want.
Yeah, it's like that situation with I'd say that this has a better start to it than something like Quantum Break, but it is that whole thing where it's like, well, this story makes absolutely no sense, and it kind of spins off from where I thought it was going to go and wanted it to go. It spins off from where Sean Bean probably thought it was going when he agreed to do a serious voiceover narration for the trailer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably, maybe Sean Bean was like, I just really love rat magic. don't criticize, you know. Okay, at Six Detmer on Twitter if you want to tell, give me feedback on my Sean Bean. I mean, is there anything else you need to hit on this one?
Not that...
You are welcome to. I'm not trying to shut you down. It just, I don't know. I feel tired.
Yeah, there's not really much else I have to say. It has DLC, and all that DLC does is it gives you more options for the colored clothes that your character can wear. It just calls them the family crest, but really what it's doing is just changing the clothes that you're wearing in terms of just the color scheme. And
can you get armor for the rats?
Sadly, no.
Oh.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a surprisingly pretty game for the budget that they were probably working on, and those first 5 hours are a pretty solid story, but at some point it decides to shit all over itself, and it turns out poorly.
Well, rats do poop a lot, so it only makes sense. All right, well, I guess that's our takeaway for A Plague Tale: Innocence. We'll have to come back with another, hopefully a more positive game. I don't know what this is. I don't know if this is a spoiler. I guess it's probably a spoiler cast, right?
Yeah, we kind of just
title it.
Yeah, I cut off some of the stuff with the interpersonal drama between the various side characters, just because getting into their whole thing would be more of a tangent, and it's already kind of covered in the first 5 or so hours. It's basically more of what was happening before with you running away from guards and running away from rats, so...
And a villager girl falls in love with Hugo, and Hugo's like, I wish I could be with you, but I'm rats.
Yeah, he's like 10 years old, so he doesn't really... He doesn't really think of anything but his mom and wanting to be with his
okay,
mom.
Okay, so he's actually like, ew, girls, rats, they're all right.
Basically.
Okay, great. It's the Hotline Bling meme, like looking away from girls and then thumbs up to the rats. Okay, that's enough shit posting for me for one day. Jen, where can people find you on the internet?
So I'm at JBU3 on Twitter. I do various shows like this one on Scanline Media. Everything else can be found on scanlinemedia.com and abnormalmapping.com/novelnotnew or readinggames.online, where I do a visual novel podcast with you and M. And mm-hmm. I think that about covers it right now.
Yeah. If you want to find me, I'm at SixDetmar, as mentioned earlier, SixDetmar on Twitter. I have a pinned tweet there that lets you know all the shows that I do, including, you know, a lot of shows that Jen's on. And also a link to the Scanline Patreon if you want to help us out. As far as a next game, I don't know. We were supposed to do...
Ringo Ishikawa.
Yeah, we were supposed to do Ringo Ishikawa. And I think we should. That game is really anxiety-inducing.
Yeah. like if it's causing anxiety for you too, then that's serious, because
I think that's the point, but yeah
like a lot of those games I feel like I get more anxious about than you do, but it's really interesting to hear that it's also doing that to you.
I do still want to talk about it, but we need to find a quiet game time to do it, because like if there are other games to play, I'll probably default to those other games, because like, hey, Dragon Quest Builders 2 is just a nice time, and I don't have to think about how I'm wasting my life, which is literally what Ringo Ishikawa is about. It's good, but God, it's hard to play. But yeah, we'll come back with another one of these soon. Maybe keep an eye on the Patreon. The Patreon has some paid content. It has like the Is It Anime polls. It has the episodes of Oops All Anime, but also any updates as far as like what we're playing or status updates are free. So if you want to be like, oh, what are they up to? What are their thoughts on the games they've been playing, or what, you know, are they working on? That's all free. You can check that out for free. So even if you're not going to back us, you should keep an eye on the Patreon.
Indeed.
And with that said, I think that's it for us here. Until next time, folks. There's rats in here. It's Halloween.
Keep away from the rats.
Peace.